from the number one best-selling author of Life Rescripted. You're now tuning in to the Year of Purpose podcast. I'm Zephan Moses Blacksburg. Holly Wharton is an author and business mindset coach for women entrepreneurs. She works with women who are feeling stuck and frustrated in their business, and Holly helps them release their fear of visibility, set aligned prices for their products and services, and take inspired action to grow their business. It's usually not lack of business or marketing knowledge that holds us back in business. That's all easy to learn. It's our mindset that stops us from creating the business that we want. If you've ever struggled with self-confidence, self-esteem, or even setting prices that reflect your true value, Holly can help. There's a fast and easy way to move past the fears, blocks, and limiting beliefs toward your vision of your ideal business. Holly, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So I'd love to kind of share a little bit more about what took you from, you know, the last few years to being in a place of, you know, a mindset coach and a mentor to so many people. You know, I'd love to hear just a little bit of your backstory, just to introduce you a little bit more to everyone.
Sure. Okay. So I have been an entrepreneur since 1999.
Wow.
I know. Which makes me feel a little bit old. But my first business, which I ran with a business partner for about 10 and a half years, was in the hospitality industry. So we had eco hotels in Mexico. And we started this. He had some property that he bought very cheaply because it was so long ago. And I had a little bit of money. And so we put it all together and just bootstrapped this business. And it was amazing. That was where I got all of my business and marketing experience. And I learned so, so, so much. And after about 10 and a half years, it was time for me to step away from that business. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I took an extended sabbatical of about a year and a half to try to figure it out. And after that, ended up training as a coach, trained as an NLP practitioner, and ended up starting to set up my business, helping entrepreneurs, small business owners, learning how to use social media to market their businesses. Because my background from the first business was in online marketing. So started that, set up my business, using my coaching skills to kind of help people, you know, learn how to, what their unique thing was to kind of market their business. And as I was marketing my own business, I realized I had so much stuff in the way. With my first company, it was so easy to market because it wasn't just me. You know, I had a business partner and I was marketing this thing, which was the eco hotels, which was separate from me. Whereas in my new business, I was marketing essentially myself because I was offering the services. So all of my stuff about, you know, am I good enough? All my self-confidence, self-esteem stuff just came up and got in the way. And I really, really struggled to build my business. You know, I built it, I was making money off of it, I was, you know, supporting myself with it, but it was just a big, big struggle. And at one point, I ended up training in this technique called Psych-K to work with my own stuff. And it just changed my life so much that I realized I needed to incorporate that into my business to help other people with it, because it was just massively life-changing. And my biggest thing, as I said, was getting over my own fears, blocks, and mindset stuff. So that's what I want to help people with now, because I found that that was my biggest block.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly one of the biggest blocks for most people. You know, I certainly had a lot of fears and issues going into business for myself as well. I know exactly what that was like. Could I ask, you know, how did you leap into the entrepreneurial world? What, you know, what originally got you into working in a business with someone as opposed to, you know, staying in a job? Or I'm not familiar with what you were doing beforehand, but, you know, what was kind of the motivator to try something different?
That's an excellent question. And I think I'm pretty lucky in the fact that I've never had a real job.
Nice.
Yeah. I've had, you know, when I was in high school and I was in college, I had summer jobs, and I was actually very lucky in that I always loved the jobs that I had, but I've never had like a proper professional job. So I was in grad school when I met my former business partner, and I gotten the scholarship to study abroad in Mexico. So I was doing that and then went back, was in grad school at UCLA at the time, and just really, really unhappy. I thought I wanted to teach. I was in a graduate school program for contemporary Spanish American literature. So I wanted to teach literature. I had this big dream for myself and then realized that I really was not happy with my life, just not wanting to continue with it. And so I just kind of I took a leave of absence that I never went back to, went back to Mexico and started this business with my business partner. And it just started out with a couple of kind of huts on the beach, just very, very rustic. And from there we built it up. So I went into this not really knowing that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I just knew that I hated what I was doing and needed to do something else.
And the interesting thing, I'm guessing, is that, many times people go to college for a certain subject of study, and when they become an entrepreneur, they do something entirely different. So did you find that, you had just totally jumped into an arena that you had never been in before?
Yeah, I mean, I had zero experience in business. I remember at one point when I was getting ready to go to grad school, my mother saying to me, "Oh, I was talking with some friends and we were thinking that it might be a good idea for you to do an MBA." And I was like, "Ah, an MBA, what am I going to do with that? I'm a literature major." Like, I love art and the written word and all that, And I just remember thinking, "What the heck would I do with an MBA? That's just horrible. I never want to do anything like that." And a couple of years later, here I am in the business world. So yeah, I mean, it was a massive, massive, massive change of focus. And I've just constantly, I mean, I was learning so much, my God. And it was like, learn as I do it, because I had no experience in hospitality. I had no experience with business. I had no experience with marketing. And I was learning so much every single day. It was like, I would be faced with this problem and I'd be like, okay, I need to learn how to do this. And this was 1999. So the internet was like this new little thing. So we didn't even have all the information that we have available to us now. And I was living in this very small town in southeast Mexico. There was no electricity where I lived. So I had to either take a taxi into town to get the internet. It was such a completely rustic and backwards. I mean, it was just really, really difficult for me to get the information I needed, but I did it anyway. And it was an amazing experience. I'm just really, really grateful to have gone through that.
Well, and I think a big point to pull out of this is that, you really got your MBA as trial by fire. Like you learn as you go. And one of the biggest things that prevents us from stepping forward, taking a big leap of faith, is that, we're afraid we're not going to know what to do. And we don't know what to do. When I quit my job, I didn't know how to start a business, but you kind of just do it and figure it out. So let's talk a little bit about, how we get out of that mindset of, hoping and wishing that we knew everything and how it was going to turn out and what to do next. And how do we kind of leap into this mindset of, I'm going to figure it out as I go?
I think you've got to just trust that you can do it. Trust yourself. And this is something that I am still learning, despite the fact that I've been doing this for so many years. It's like, just trust that you will be able to figure it out. We've got so much information available to us now. So if you've got a question, you Google it. There wasn't Google when I started out. There was, I don't know, Alta Vista or something. We didn't even have all this information. So really, you can ask friends. There's so many people with online businesses, brick and mortar businesses that you can ask. And depending on what the information is that you need, you could Google. I mean, we've got so much available to us. So I would just say, trust that you will figure it out and learn as you go. Don't, a friend of mine who went to the same coaching school that I did before she started up her business went and did a master's degree in entrepreneurship. And I remember thinking, why the heck are you doing this? Just learn as you go. But of course, everyone has their own preferred method of learning. But honestly, I don't think you need to invest time and money in a degree to figure out how to run a business. Again, everyone has their own preferred method of learning. Some people may need that, but I think most people can get by without it. And just learn each little bit as you go. Today, I need to learn how to, build a website or hire someone to build a website. Do that. And then tomorrow, you need to figure out something else. Figure that out. But don't feel like you need this massive chunk of information on how to build a business before getting started, because I think that can really trip people up.
Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind some of the things that are taught, even in a college degree. I've heard, from some people who are going to school for marketing or going to school for a business. And, let's just pick someone for marketing as an example. You probably learn more about putting, that college party event on Facebook and inviting 150 of your friends. You probably learn more about marketing and getting the word out than I think you'll get in some of the classrooms, because a lot of them teach kind of an older style and aren't really, up with the times. Because, I mean, look, social media changes every single week. There's I just took, somewhere around 40 kids on an international trip this past summer. And I mean, they're already using social media networks that I've like never heard of. And I'm like, why aren't you guys just on Facebook? And they're like, oh, we don't use that anymore. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, that's everybody uses Facebook. And they're like, no, like our generation doesn't do that anymore. And it's so crazy how fast-paced things move that it's like, there's just new ways of doing this. And there's no way that school is going to teach you, the exact thing to do the second you get out, because, it's just outdated. We move so quick.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And also, a lot of programs like MBAs are not designed for people building an online business. They're designed for people who want to be in the corporate world.
Right.
So, just learn as you go and, learn what you need to learn as you go and just learn the bits that you need to learn rather than, taking on all this information that other people think you might need. And I think that's, I don't know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I feel like universities are going to completely change, or should hopefully completely change, because I feel like there's so much information out there, both on entrepreneurship and on other things, that people don't need a 4-year degree to learn what they need to learn to do what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, some of the most successful people that I've met either, dropped out of college or didn't go to college. And I still find it funny that, entrepreneurship is actually a major in college, because it's like the only way you major in entrepreneurship is by doing
Yeah, I
it.
know. I think that is a big learn by doing thing. Otherwise, you just get so much theory crammed into your brain and you'll come out not knowing what to do with it all. You got
Yeah.
to just take the action.
Well, so a big challenge that came up for me after I had taken this risk and made the leap to start a business was figuring out, my value and what I'm worth to other people, and, really charging the right things so that, I'm not shooting a hole in my foot at the end of the year when it comes time to do taxes and, I see that there's nothing left in the bank. How do we go about, valuing what we're providing to people, especially, when you come from like a social media background? Like, you're not necessarily giving a tangible good to somebody, you're giving a service. How do we figure out what we're worth, and how do we even like charge more for what we're doing? So many people take this leap, and I've seen videographers that charge, $25 an hour, where I'm over here charging $200 an hour. And I wouldn't have known that had I not taken on a mentor who said, double your prices. And then I came back and said, oh, cool, it worked. I, made the most I've ever made before. And then they said, okay, double it again. Like, how do we figure out what we're worth, to other people?
That is such an excellent question, and I think we could talk about this for days. Because I think a lot of times we undervalue ourselves. I think a lot of people tend to undervalue rather than overvalue what they have to offer. And that, again, goes back to all of our fears of, am I good enough? There are so many other people out here doing the same thing. Who am I to come into this world, offer the same thing as so many other people are? But we each have our own experiences, we each have our own strengths and, ways of doing things that make us unique. So I think it's a matter of valuing what we as unique individuals have to offer. Now, when I help people with pricing, I have a very kind of strange way of doing it. So I use muscle testing a lot in my business. It's a very integral part of the technique that I use to help people change their mindsets. So muscle testing is, you may or may have not seen it, where people kind of press on you, stretch out your arm, the other person presses down on your arm, and you get like a yes or no response. Does that make sense? Are you familiar with this? Okay. So the way we use muscle testing is to test, or the way I use it with people is to test what are the best prices for you? So a lot of times people come to me and I do these free pricing calls with people to, if they want to, test their prices out. So maybe someone's charging $50 an hour and deep down they kind of feel like they might want to be charging twice that, as you said, $100 an hour. And but they feel like I'm not good enough. Who am I to double my prices? Who am I to ask for this money? So we muscle test on it to see what's the best price for them. And oftentimes the muscle testing will confirm that deep gut feeling that they had. And then getting that confirmation from the muscle testing will help them kind of get the confirmation that they needed to say, okay, I'm going to take the leap and I'm going to try it. I'm going to try doubling my prices. So that's the way I do it with people. And I think that's a very unique way of doing it, but it works because it really helps people confirm what they already knew deep down.
Right, and chances are with a lot of this entrepreneurial stuff, if it's kind of built in, a lot of it is going with your gut. And chances are you're right a lot of the time. And the times that you're wrong, you'll probably look back and say, well, I kind of had a feeling I might not have been in the right direction. So I think, really going with your gut is important. And another big thing to bring up was there was a book that I read actually by someone who was my former employer. My first job out of college, I worked for a company called Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle. And Dan Kennedy, who's a famous copywriter, wrote a book called Wealth Attraction. And it talks about how when we charge people for our services, sometimes new entrepreneurs make the mistake of thinking that they're taking something away from the client by, charging them more money. And we kind of make this mistake of thinking that, the amount of money in the world is decreasing because we're doing that to someone. When it's really quite the opposite. I mean, chances are if we're doing a service for them, it's something that's going to, enhance their life or their business or their relationships. I mean, that's the whole point. That's why people hire you for your services.
Yeah, and people aren't always looking for the cheapest price. I think one of the best stories I've ever heard about pricing is a woman I know who said that when she first started, she put an ad in the local paper for £20 an hour, so that's about $30. And she got this first woman through the ad, and so she had the session with her. The woman loved the session. Time comes at the end of the session to collect the money, and she says, "Okay, that's £20." And the woman said, hands her 200, and she said, "No, it's just 20, not 200." And the woman said, "No, but the ad said 200." And apparently, there's a misprint, and the magazine or newspaper, whatever it was, had put £200 an hour instead of
Oh my
20.
gosh.
And the woman said to her, "I wouldn't have come to you if I thought it was £20 because that's too cheap. Like, I don't think I don't expect to get much for my money if I'm paying £20, but if I'm paying 200, I expect to get what I got today."
Wow.
And so that was like the biggest mindset shift for this woman because she realized, A, she could charge 10 times more than she had been asking, and B, her service was really worth that because the woman felt like she had gotten value for her £200 an hour rather than, 20. So, yeah.
That's a really fortunate example. I mean, I wish that I had an extra zero in front of my prices just to see who picks up. But I think that's an amazing example of how, once you see that as possible for yourself and you get that confirmation that that's how you can do it, it's very easy to go about doing it from there. Now, for some people who, aren't fortunate enough to have a mistype in a newspaper, how do we build that confidence to really go and ask for that price? I mean, I remember even being on the phone for, a couple of the first few gigs that I had landed at a higher price, and I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking like X amount of dollars. And you sound as if you're unsure and you're worried and concerned that they're just going to say no and you're going to lose the client. How do we go about saying, this is the price and this is what I do for you, and these are the type of results you can expect?
Well, I think that all goes back to trusting yourself, trusting that you can help the client get results or that you can deliver whatever it is that they're purchasing, and having the confidence in yourself and believing that you have the value that you're asking for. I think there are a lot of business coaches out there that say, double your prices, double your prices, double your prices, and really they're out of control.
Right.
Like it's just too much. And I think deep down whether the price is right for you. But then the problem comes if you don't have that self-confidence, you may be asking too little. So, the work that I do with people is all about changing beliefs at the subconscious level. And I think there are so many different techniques that you can use to do that. So one of the easiest things is tapping or EFT. You can go out and find videos on YouTube about that and, you know, work with tapping with yourself to transform your confidence and, you know, get your self-belief up to the point where you can feel comfortable asking for prices that, you know, feel maybe stretch. I know when I set my prices, you know, the first time with my mindset business, I muscle tested on my prices, I got the prices, and it felt like a big stretch and it felt really scary, but I put them up there on my website and started quoting them and people started paying them. So, you know.
That's awesome. Now, yeah. I know that I've heard of tapping and I've actually seen someone who does it quite often, but just for anyone listening who, you know, either hasn't heard of it before or doesn't really know what it is, could you just kind of expand a tiny bit on what tapping is?
Yeah, it's not my area of expertise because I actually use a different technique with clients, but tapping is basically the idea that, you know, we have these blockages in our meridians, and by tapping on them, we can release those blocks and transform our beliefs. So the way so it's actually very, very easy. And the reason I mentioned tapping is because there's so many videos out there and you can just learn it for free.
Right.
You can also train in it. But like I said, I think everyone has their own kind of preferred method of doing this kind of work. So I use a technique called Psych-K because that works for me and that works really well for my clients and the people that I attract to my business. But sometimes it's a matter of trial and error. You know, you might try the tapping videos and maybe you just think it's weird and you don't like it. So you try NLP or Psych-K or, you know, something else and find what works for you. But I find that doing this really deep work to change your mindset can transform your self-confidence and your self-belief and, you know, your belief in how much you value yourself. It just can make it so easy to change those things.
And I'm sure that, you know, at its core, this is something that many successful people are doing, right? I mean, there are, you know, you look at people like Tony Robbins, and he's got his morning routine kind of came out a little bit in the recent documentary they released on Netflix. And, you know, you've got other people who are out there who are doing these things to continue to work on themselves. So even if we look up to them as people who seem to have, you know, quote unquote, made it, or, you know, people who seem extremely successful, I feel like it's always a work in progress. You know, it's always something that we're just constantly doing for ourselves to, you know, not only nurture where we're at, but to just continually get better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, when I first trained in Psych-K, I was using it with myself every single day. And I don't use it every day anymore because I've cleared so much stuff. But, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, I do sit down and I have a session with myself. So it's very much a work in progress. But I find that as you clear this stuff and you kind of grow to the next level, then you've got kind of next level problems. So, you know, maybe you've got money issues or pricing issues or fears or stuff around that. You clear that stuff, but then as you grow and you ask, you're making more money and you're asking for more money, then you've got different kind of blocks that have a different kind of aspect to those issues, if that makes sense. So yeah, constantly growing, but constantly changing the nature of the stuff that you're working on as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought up a great entrepreneurial point there in that, you know, the more money that we start to make, the more money that we start to spend on things because, you know, things kind of change. And so I think that, you know, it's really important to know that as you hit every new breakthrough and every new level, you know, it's going to come hand in hand with a whole new set of challenges and things for you. So, you know, I don't want people to look at entrepreneurial lifestyles as, you know, this just fixes everything.
Yeah.
But I certainly think that, you know, there are so many things that, you know, that you can do to improve yourself constantly. And this is certainly one of the right ways to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if anyone out there listening to this is feeling stuck because they feel like they've been, you know, taking action and not getting anywhere, or maybe they're so stuck they're not even taking action, doing the mindset work can just make it so much easier. And I think that's one of the biggest things that my clients say to me is that after they've done the mindset work, it becomes so much easier to take the actions that used to scare them. And now it's just like, oh, I'll do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing episode, Holly. And, you know, I'd love to share with people a way they can learn a little bit more about what you're doing and where they can find you online. What's the best website for people to reach out to you?
The best website is just my name, hollywharton.com, and that's WORTON. And from there, I've got links to all my stuff, all my social media accounts and my videos. I've got a lot of videos up on YouTube, and you can learn more through there.
Nice. And so, do you have any just sort of lasting words of wisdom for anyone who's kind of stuck on the edge, either A, hasn't taken the big risk yet to jump into the entrepreneurial world, or B, someone who's done it already but is still, just ready to take it to the next level? What should they be doing right now?
I would say pay attention to what's stopping you. So when you think about, leaving your job or taking the leap to becoming an entrepreneur, or when you think about taking your business to the next level, what's the stuff that stops you? What are you afraid of? What's the worst that can happen? What do you need to believe that you don't currently believe to make those changes or take those actions? And just start training your brain to pay attention to that stuff. So every time you think about what you want to do or the actions you want to take but don't, or the stuff that you procrastinate on, think about why you're not taking those actions. What's stopping you? Train your brain to think of the blocks and recognize the blocks when they come up. Because once you start recognizing them, rather than kind of sweeping them under the rug, then you can actually do something about it. But if you have no idea what's even blocking you, it's just this horrible, horrible feeling of like stuckness. So, yeah, just train yourself to become aware of it and then take the action to, transform those beliefs.
So increasing your awareness, paying really close attention to the why behind, what's keeping you stuck in that place, and then ultimately sitting down and saying, okay, if I want to get past this, I need to do something about it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and then just try to find whatever technique you like to do that. There's so many things out there. You will be naturally drawn more to some rather than others. So, maybe you need some to try a couple things before you find what works for you. I actually trained in a few things before I found what worked for me. So, yeah. Give
Good
it a try.
stuff. Well, thanks so much for being here today, Holly. I really appreciate you taking the time out, and it's been great to hear a little bit about your story and, working for 10 years on a certain business and then making a pivot into a different arena. And I'm sure, really getting over the blocks has been probably one of your biggest keys to success. So thank you so much for sharing that with everyone, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey everyone, it's Zeph. Did you like this episode? Be sure to subscribe so that you can tune in next week and tell a friend about the show. If you want access to free training and exclusive interviews on success, happiness, lifestyle design, and adventure, visit me at yearofpurpose.com. Until next time, go out and let life surprise you so that you can live a life rescripted.